today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Literally, he tells me this with a straight face. He said, why'd you bring two kayaks? Well, you know, one of them might get shot out from under him.
Hello, and welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to another episode of our music podcast. Hope everyone had an enjoyable long weekend. There was no episode yesterday, Monday, because it was a holiday here in the USA, Memorial Day. And I specifically want to bring up yesterday being a holiday because yesterday would have been the 100th birthday of Harry Smith, Harry Everett Smith, an American artist. And we are going to spend today's episode discussing Harry Smith a little bit, but we are going to go in depth on his greatest contribution to American music. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But before we do, I want to remind you guys of a couple things. First, that the deadline to get in your May new music picks is June 4th. That is Sunday coming up. So that gives you, if you count today, 6 days to get in your May new music picks. So you've already started getting them in, and we've got some already lined up. So we always appreciate that, and that's one of the weeks we look forward to the most here on Rockin' the Suburbs each month. The way you do that is you create a voice file, either on your home recording equipment, your smartphone, and you email it. After you've created it, you attach it to an email and email it to rock@suburbspod.com. The other option is to call our suburban party line and leave a message there. You have 3 minutes, and you can just spend that time talking about the pick you want to make. You're allowed to choose one album and one song. Feel free to quickly mention some honorable mentions if you feel like that's something you need to do. We don't want to discourage you from that, and we'll read those out. And you can call up that suburban party line and get all that done in 3 minutes, or leave two messages, or three, or four. And you just dial up
612-440-1984.
And I do want to let you know, program notes-wise, that this week's going to be great on Rockin' the Suburbs, as they all are. We're going to have episode 3 of our excellent series that Jim has been doing on the young ones, and that's going to be coming up this Friday. And tomorrow, we're going to have an interview with the two main organizers of a really cool suburban music festival. And I think you're going to find this really interesting, and anyone within the sound of our voice, you might want to be able to check that out, and that's coming up in a little bit here in the month of June. So let's dive in to talk about Harry Smith. Harry Everett Smith was born May 29th, 1923, and he passed in the year 1991. He was an artist, experimental filmmaker, collector, and bohemian slash visionary. He collected records as well as string figures, paper airplanes, seminal textiles, and Ukrainian Easter eggs. And while Smith's art was a huge influence on the beat and hippie movements, and according to Encyclopedia Britannica, appreciation has also grown for his contributions as an experimental filmmaker and painter, as has his status as one of the most colorful multidisciplinary artists of the 20th century. All that aside, for the purposes of this episode, his most important achievement was putting together the American Anthology of Folk Music. The anthology is a 3-album compilation released in 1952 by Folkways Records of 84 recordings of American folk, blues, and country music recorded and released between 1926 and 1933. All of the recordings came from Smith's personal collection, and in many ways, the anthology is the first and the coolest mixtape of all time. The anthology was not a big seller when it was released in the 50s, but like many records that fall into that category, its influence was far greater than its sales figures. Like the old story about the Velvet Underground, everybody who bought the first Velvet Underground album when it came out started a band, right? The anthology made a massive impression on countless musicians, artists, and future record collectors. And when the set was reissued on CD in 1997, which is the first time I heard any of these songs, it was a major event. Well, I guess I should say it's the first time I heard all of them. Some of them I had heard before. A couple on original recordings and a couple that actually were songs that I knew from my own childhood, that my grandmother used to sing around the house and things like that. So we'll get to a couple examples of that as well. The booklet that was included in the set made clear what a huge lasting impression Smith's compilation had made. And I'm talking about the booklet that came with the 1997 version. The booklet that was included with the 1952 edition of the anthology in some ways is just as famous as the music. So Harry Smith began collecting 78s, which were the only medium for recordings at the time he was doing this in his teenage years. And he bought discs in a wide variety of styles, from jazz to blues to Cajun to country to gospel. Some of these records were regional hits, but still most were manufactured in relatively small numbers compared to what we think of as a major selling record. By the early 1950s, Smith had made his way from San Francisco to New York City, where he was going to use a Guggenheim grant to make a film. When that grant money was close to running out, Smith wanted to continue making the film. It was at this point, according to the source of all human knowledge, that Smith took what he called the quote-unquote cream of the crop of his record collection to Mo Ash, president of Folkways Records, with the idea of selling the records to him. When Ash looked at the collection, he proposed that the 27-year-old Smith use the material to edit a multi-volume anthology of American folk music in long-playing format, which was then a newly developed cutting-edge medium. And he provided space and equipment in his office for Smith to work. The recording engineer on the project was Peter Bartok, son of the renowned composer and folklorist. So here was Harry Smith in New York City, with all of his records, and he is suddenly given a studio and an engineer to help him transfer these 78s into three double LP sets. And all he had to do at that point was figure out which songs he wanted to choose from all these 78s he had, what kind of story he wanted to tell with these records, and how he wanted to put them in order. So the ultimate planning of the mixtape, although it's going to be released in three volumes, this one. Smith selected recordings from between 1927, when electronic recording made possible accurate music reproduction, and 1932, when the Great Depression halted folk music sales more or less in their tracks. The result was a three-album compilation released in 1952 by Folkways Records of 84 recordings. They were divided into three volumes: ballads, social music, and songs. The ballads volume contains story songs about people or specific events, some of which were English folk ballads brought to America from the UK, while others dealt with life in America in the early 1900s. A fine example of this is King Kong Kitchy Kitchy Kaimyo. This is a song which I personally knew from hearing my grandmother sing it, although her version of it was called Froggy Went A-Courtin'. Have you ever heard the story about the frog that went to marry the mouse, she would ask us. And then she would sing it to us in her own very charming, idiosyncratic grandmother voice. The version on the anthology, which is totally amazing, is by Chubby Parker in his old-time banjo.
Frog went a-courtin' and he did ride. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, cry-me-o, with a sword and a pistol by his side. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, cry-me-o. Cry-mo-key, mo-cry, mo-key, way down yonder in a holler tree, an owl and a bat and a bumblebee. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, cry-me-o. He rode till he came to Miss Mouse's door. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, cry-me-o. And there he knelt up on the floor. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, cry-me-o. Cry-mo-key, mo-cry, mo-key, way down yonder in a holler tree, an owl and a bat and a bumblebee. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, cry-me-o. He took Miss Mouse up on his knee. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, cry-me-o. And he said, little mouse, will you marry me? King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, cry-me-o. Cry-mo-key, mo-cry, mo-key, way down yonder in a holler tree, an owl and a bat and a bumblebee. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, cry-me-o. Miss Mouse had suitors three or four. King Kong, Kitty Kitty, Kimeo, and there they came right in the door. King Kong, Kitty Kitty, Kimeo, Kimo, 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 Key, away down yonder in a holler tree, an owl and a bat and a bumblebee. King Kong, Kitty Kitty, Kimeo. They grabbed Mr. Frog and began to fight. King Kong, Kitty Kitty, Kimeo, in that holler tree, 'twas a terrible night. King Kong, Kitty.
There you go. And as I was mentioning about the booklet, one of the most amazing things about this booklet, the original one, and there's a reproduction of it in the 1997 CD reissue. Harry Smith compiled all these sources from which he got this information about the songs, and they were all written down, and there's an index in the back to show where all these things came from, oftentimes books or records that he originally took the song from, and a really interesting alphabetical index of it. I mean, it's really encyclopedic, and it must have been mind-blowing to discover this kind of stuff in the 1950s and 60s. But he also wrote really funny sort of little headlines that summed up these songs. They're almost like newspaper headlines. And, for example, another song on the ballads is Lazy Farmer Boy, and that was by Buster Custer and Preston Young. And the headline that Harry Smith came up with for the track is young agriculturist neglects seed, loses both crop and fiance. Story of the lazy farmer boy right there. Other highlights from the ballad section, at least some of my favorites, include Peggin' All by the Carolina Tar Heels, recorded in 1929. John Hardy Was a Desperate Little Man, recorded by the Carter family. So the first family of American country music is right in the wheelhouse for this. Stack-a-Lee by Frank Hutchinson. Cassie Jones by Furry Lewis. And the absolutely incredible Mississippi Boll Weevil Blues by the Mask Marvel, a.k.a. Charlie Patton.
There's a little boll weevil keep moving, ain't it? Lordy. You can plant your cotton and you won't get a heavy stain, Lordy. Boll weevil, boll weevil, why's your little hole, Lordy? A Louisiana ring takes a little wild, pretty bold, Lordy. Well, I thought it would weave a lot of snake, a lot of Indiana, Lordy. The next time I see them, Lordy, had his family there, Lordy. Oh, weaver left to take a lot of business by well, Lordy. Where you going now? I'm going down to Mississippi, gonna get a loo down the hill, Lordy. Boy, we was headed for one, ain't got to Japan, Lordy. I let one suck all the blouse of me and leave you a happy square, Lordy. And next time I see you, I had your family there, Lordy.
And we could do an entire episode just on the story of Charlie Patton and his whole incredibly mysterious, bizarre, amazing, and wonderful to read about life. So that's another side road you could definitely go down. The second volume of the anthology was called Social Music, and it was made up of music and songs that were usually heard at social gatherings or dances. Or front porches where a whole family or neighbors would gather around. And this contains many instrumentals because it was music often made to dance to or just to have playing at a big gathering. And a great example of this is a song called Brilliancy Medley by fiddler Eck Robertson and his family band. Thank you. There are a lot of instrumentals on the second volume of this, but there are also some absolutely mesmerizing vocal performances as well, like Death, Where Is Thy Sting, a recording of Reverend J.M. Gates' sermon. He's Got Better Things for You by the Memphis Sanctified Singers. There's some amazing gospel music on this collection. And a recording some consider one of the set's very top highlights, Blind Willie Johnson and his wife Angeline doing John the Revelator.
Well, who's that riding?
John the Revelator.
Who's that riding?
John the Revelator.
Who's that riding? Hey, book of the seven, tell me what's John riding?
Master Revelator.
What's John riding?
Master Revelator.
What's John riding?
Master Revelator.
Hey, book of the seven. Father, who by the wife has cried a holy, bound and both son of our God, daughter of Zion, Judith the Lion. He redeemed us in the border, said the blood. Tell me, who's that riding?
John the Revelator.
Who's that riding?
John the Revelator.
Who's that riding?
John the Revelator.
Hey, book of the seven. Well, what's John riding?
Master Revelator.
What's John riding?
Master Revelator.
What's John riding?
Hey,
book of the seven seals. I'm the Revelator, great advocator, testimony about a Messiah. For telling the story, rising the glory, cried, Lord, to the love of Samaya, tell me who's that.
I mean, how do you not love that? That voice, that driving voice, and the background singing, and the unshakable conviction that the singers and performers believe every single word and note of what they're playing. It's just pretty stunning. It really, really is. I love all three of the volumes of this anthology, but in some ways, Social Music, just because of the mix of vocals and instrumentals and all the wild stuff, is one of my favorites. And if I had to choose one, which I hope I'd never come to that, I might take Social Music with me. The third volume is called Songs, and it's made up of songs that Smith wanted to include that didn't fit into the first two categories and are best described as being written about the trials and tribulations of everyday life in America, including topics like love, fear, death, and suffering. Many of these are blues numbers, as heard in the joyous version of Fishing Blues by Henry Thomas, a song that would go on to be covered, imitated countless, countless times.
Back and got me a pole. Went to the hard one, got me a hook. Placed that line right on that hook. Said you've been fishing all the time. I'm gonna fish it too. I bet your life, your loving wife, just for fishing you. Any fish bite, got your bait. Here's a little something I've let to lay. Any fish bite, got your bait. I'm gonna fish it. Yes, I'm gonna fish it. I'm gonna fish it too.
Other standouts in the 27-song third volume are Bob Lee Jr. Blues by the Memphis Jug Band, See That My Grave Is Kept Clean, an all-time classic recording by Blind Lemon Jefferson, Buddy Won't You Roll Down the Line by the incredible Uncle Dave Macon, and the Indescribably Delicious, I Wish I Was a Mole in the Ground by Bascom Lamar Lunsford.
I wish I was a mole in the ground. Yes, I wish I was a mole in the ground. If I was a mole in the ground, I'd root that mountain down. And I wish I was a mole in the ground. Well, Tempe wants a $9 show. Yes, Tempe wants a $9 show. When I come over the hill with a $40 bill, 'tis, baby, where you been so long? I've been in the bend so long. Yes, I've been in the bend so long. I've been in the bend with the rough and rowdy men, 'tis, baby, where you been so long? Oh, I don't like a railroad man. No, I don't like a railroad man. If I was a railroad man, they'll kill you when he can. Drink your blood like
One thing that's really interesting about the anthology, and this is where I'll go back to the source of all human knowledge, because it notes something very interesting and succinctly about the anthology. It reads, quote, "When the anthology was released, neither Folkways nor Smith possessed the licensing rights to these recordings, many of which had initially been issued by record companies that were still in existence, including Columbia and Paramount. The anthology thus technically qualifies as a high-profile bootleg. Folkways would have later obtained some licensing rights, although the anthology would not be completely licensed until 1997 when the Smithsonian Institution got involved and reissued the famous CD version. So not only is it one of the first all-time great mixtapes, it's probably one of the first all-time widely circulated bootleg recordings, because these were literally just records that Harry Smith had in his collection and picked from and, you know, made a mixtape. And it just is incredible. As I mentioned, another groundbreaking aspect was the booklet that accompanied the records. It was designed by Smith. He did all the designing and put it together in this cut-and-paste avant-garde style that really has to be seen to be understood. Words don't do it that much justice, especially mine. He summarized the topic of each tune with a pithy string of words, somewhat akin to a newspaper headline, as I mentioned. For Mississippi Bo Weevil Blues, the title Smith came up with was "Bo Weevil Survives Physical Attack After Cleverly Answering Farmers' Questions." all that design and artwork and the covers, which had very interesting sort of, they look like these timeless kind of symbols that are on the front of each record. They've become almost as well known as the music over the years. The anthology most probably directly impacted the New York folk scene in the early 1960s. I mean, it was absolutely immeasurable what an impact this had on that community. And then when you think about what impact that community and the people in it, you know, there was a guy named Bob Dylan in there and a whole bunch of other people. And what happened and how the folk scene spread and how the folk scene turned into rock music and how rock music turned into indie rock and da-na, da-na, da-na. But Dave Van Ronk, who was called the mayor of McDougal Street and pretty much influenced everybody that ever played in that scene at one time or another, called the anthology the Bible. Record collectors began to seek out the players on the records to see if they were still alive and still playing. So this led to the rediscovery of many artists that had stopped playing, and they were able to find an audience in the 1960s at folk festivals and on college campuses and in the UK. So it revitalized and completely turned around some of these musicians' careers. The spirit of daring and truth that's all over this record seeped into the many, many rock bands, many experimental rock bands. I mean, all the way up to, you know, stuff that was happening today. And Elvis Costello is actually quoted about talking about the anthology. His words, I believe, are very poignant about this. It's like discovering the secret script of so many familiar musical dramas. I mean, so many things about the way famous songs were written and the stories and the things that happen in them, you can find the roots of them inside this anthology. It's pretty amazing. It's this long, deep, underlying tapestry of American music. I first bought this in the year 1997 when it was reissued. I remember the Washington Post ran a big article on in their Sunday arts section that day that it came out, or that week, and just talked about it. And I had never heard of it. I didn't know who Harry Smith was. I didn't know very much about the whole thing, the way it had went down, and, you know, it'd gone completely out of print. And I was just fascinated. I remember getting in the car after reading the article, driving to the Tower Records closest to my house, going in there and plunking down my money. I think it was something like $39 or $40 for the 3 CD set, and just being so blown away, reading the booklet over and over. You got 6 CDs there to, you know, to deal with, and started putting those things on every mixtape I made from then on, and playing them for people, and weaving them into just the tapestry of my life. And I've loved it ever since, and just feel like it's such a monumental thing in music history that I don't know if everybody knows about. But when I noticed it was the 100th birthday of Harry Smith yesterday, I thought, well, we've got to get in here and tell people about it, just in case they haven't heard it or they want to get into it. This is it's an amazing thing to dip your toe into. And speaking of that, on the streamings, as far as I can tell, at least on the main ones that I use, you won't find an actual Smithsonian Folkways version of this on there. However, all of these songs have been available for a long time in one form or another, and most of them have been reissued in many forms. So it's easy to find in relative terms today. It's easy to find these tracks and put them all together in a playlist, and many people have done that, which is great. So it's an 84 track anthology, the original one. You can find many of them. I'm just looking here on Deezer, and I see, let's see, 4, 8, 12 playlists that look like they're pretty authentic. And I've sampled in several of these, and they all, to me, seem like the original tracks. And so you can find it that way. But don't look for, you know, the anthology in under the albums or anything like that. Just look under playlists when you do your search, and you should have it there. I will tell you that there was a fourth volume that was originally planned but never executed by Harry Smith, and he had notes and some drawings and things like that. It was actually issued later in the year 2000 on Revenant Records. So there's a vinyl version of that, and there's also a CD version, and there's also a reissue with a book. And you can also find, you know, more extended versions of the anthology and things that people have added on, and more liner notes and all that. But really, I think the main thing to do is look for that original 84 track reissue of it, and think about it in the terms of how it was originally released in those three volumes, the way Harry Smith intended it to be. And then once you get all that soaked up, and I've still been working on this since 1997, so I haven't quite got it all soaked up. I have listened to the fourth volume, but I haven't purchased it. But it's out there, just so you know. The final word here on the podcast I will give to John Fahey, one of my favorite American guitar players, and certainly someone who knew of Harry Smith, most likely knew him, and was dramatically impacted himself by a lot of the recordings. And Fahey was a collector of no small achievement, so he may have had some of these original records already before they were actually reissued on the anthology. But in the 1997 reissue booklet, Fahey is quoted as saying, "Had he never done anything with his life but this anthology, Harry Smith would still have borne the mark of genius across his forehead. I'd match the anthology up against any other single compendium of important information ever assembled. Dead Sea Scrolls? Nah, I'll take the anthology." So there you go. Pretty high praise. And with that, we're going to go out with some more music from the Anthology of American Folk Music. We are going to hear a song from the second volume, Social Music, and this song is called 50 Miles of Elbow Room. Kind of feel like that's what the anthology gives you in your brain when you start listening to it. So this is the Reverend F.W. McGee doing that song. I am Patrick Foster on behalf of Jim Linehan. I hope you enjoy the anthology if you've never heard it, or rediscover it if you have. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Da-da-da-da-da-da.